got today. 2 Peter chapter 3. We've been in the book of 1 and 2 Peter for the last couple months. And last week we looked at the first part of the future coming judgment, why God had to judge in Noah's day. And we're going to take more of a look at that today, because here's the crazy thing, is that whether people believe it or people don't, there is a coming judgment. And what I've seen over 30 years of pastoring is that there's a lot of people that don't want to hear it. And they think that if they don't hear it, they don't have to deal with it. But I'm thankful this morning. I take a whole different angle on this. I'm thankful this morning that God has given us what's going to happen so that we can prepare our hearts. I don't know what we're going to see. We may even have our own issues in our own country that doesn't have a whole lot to do with that later judgment coming. Who knows? But I do know this, that whatever it is that God says, there is a difference between a believer and an unbeliever when it comes to the judgment that he brings. And one of the things that we saw in Matthew 24 a couple weeks ago, it said this, as it was in the days of Noah, it will be the exact same thing when Jesus comes again. So I'm thankful for that clue, because that tells me to go back and read the story of Noah to see exactly what was happening, because that's what's going to happen in the future. And so when we look at this today, oceans of judgment is what I wanted to call it today, because you see that many people, many of the scoffers and mockers we see in the book of 2 Peter, where they're like, you know what, everything's been the same since the beginning, nothing has ever changed. And so there's never been a judgment ever since God created the world. It's been the same. That's not true. The Bible says there was a mighty flood that came. And so let's take a look at this morning, the warning of the second worldwide judgment to come. You know, when we talk about this, people freak out. I get it. Because the Bible says in 2 Peter chapter 3, it's not going to be with water this time. It's going to be with fire. So, you know, when we look at this, it's really interesting, because as we break this down, I want to just show you verses 5 through 7 and 10 through 12. The Bible says this. Watch what happens here. This is people that deliberately forget that there's going to be a judgment. They deliberately forget that God made the heavens long ago by the word of his own command. And he brought the earth out from water and surrounded it with water. Then, watch, I mean, this is crazy to me. Then he used the water to destroy the ancient world with a what? There it is. But they deliberately forget. They don't want to think about that there was a judgment once. Now, watch this, verse 7. And by the same word, what is Peter saying there? If God gave a word to do a worldwide judgment with a flood, he's not going to fail on the second one. He cannot lie. He's not a man that he lies. He's never untruthful. God will stick to his word. So it says this, and by the same word, the present heavens and earth have been stored up for what, church? Fire. They're being kept for the day of judgment. I want you to notice this. When what kind of people? It's crystal clear. And I would tell you, over 30 years of pastoring, I've had people tell me there's no difference in a believer and an unbeliever when it comes to life. You just die. It's not true. The Bible gives very big specifics on both parties. And as we look at this, what's interesting, it says when ungodly people will be destroyed. So this really has made me think. I'm sure we're going to see some stuff. But if you go back to the days of Noah, God rescued Noah and his family because they were righteous. Okay? So we may not have an ark today, but Jesus Christ is our ark of safety with this future coming judgment. Because here's the deal. Why would I want to serve a God that says he forgives me and pulls me out of his judgment to come and then sticks me back in the judgment to come and I have to receive his wrath? I don't want to serve a God like that. Our God rescues us from sin and death and coming judgment. I want you to see this. This is really interesting. Verse 10 says this, but the day of the Lord will come as unexpectedly as a thief. Then the heavens will pass away with a terrible noise, and the very elements themselves will disappear in fire, and the earth and everything on it will be found to deserve judgment. Since everything around us is going to be destroyed like this, watch this, what holy and godly lives that you should live. And should we be in fear of what's coming? No. When you live a holy and a godly life, watch what he says. You're looking forward to the day of God and hurrying it along. Why would I want to hurry along a fire judgment? Is anybody with me on that? So obviously, there's something that is going to be of some type of a rescue mission that's going to be for believers. And the Bible says this, and it puts on, it says, on that day, he will set the heavens on fire and the elements will melt away in the flames. Now, before you freak out on me, write down Hebrews 9:28. Hebrews 9:28 is such an incredible verse. It says this, Jesus came the first time, he died on the cross to take away the sins of many. He will return a second time. Hebrews 9:28. I love this verse. This is my life verse. Okay? He will return a second time, and he will rescue those who are eagerly waiting on him. Church, there's the difference. I want you to see this, because there's many believers that live in fear of what's to come. And if you are like Noah, and you're righteous, and you're living for the Lord, you have no fears with this. Is everybody following me today? Don't fall for all the false preaching. Don't fall for all of the fear out there and the trickery and the manipulation. The Bible's very clear. Read Hebrews 9:28 yourself. It says if you're eagerly waiting for his return, he's going to rescue those people because they're living for him. Why would I be waiting for Jesus' return if I didn't believe it? Why would I waste my time on it? And there's a difference between godly and ungodly. See, Peter shows us that there was a first worldwide judgment. The book of Genesis says a mighty flood, and it happened in Noah's day. He also shares it will be a second worldwide judgment, and in 2 Peter 3, he says it will be with fire. Now, how many of you guys know? God put the rainbow in the sky in the book of Genesis, and he made a promise. He said, I will never flood the entire earth again with water. He made that promise. So guess what? Now we get fire. Is anybody with me? I mean, what a switcheroo, right? But here's the deal. When you look at this, it says when we read this, it's absolutely frightening, and it is. I mean, when you think about that, if you've ever had a fire get out of control in your own woods, or you were burning a little section and the wind came, or maybe you had a bonfire and the wind blew and sparks went everywhere and you had little fires everywhere, you begin to panic, don't you? Can you imagine a worldwide fire? I mean, think about that. We've all seen the videos in the Smoky Mountains or out in the Rockies where people get trapped up in the mountains trying to get out as the fires come. In California, all these places, a very scary thing. So when somebody were to read this and not be on the right side of God, it'd be a very frightening thing. Everything's going to melt. The flood drowned everything in the first one. The fire will burn everything up in the second. And the Bible says this, the reason that Peter tells us these things is so that we will know what's coming, how bad the judgment will be, and how to be ready for it. And again, why would God save you for you to go through his wrath? Makes no sense to me. He's a God of love. He's a God of compassion. Matter of fact, we're going to read in Ezekiel here in just a little bit. It's a verse that'll blow your mind. People always say that God's such a horrible, mean God. The Bible tells us different, though. And I want you to see this here. This is really interesting. And again, last Sunday we talked about the hope that the believer has. Titus 2:13 says this, while we look forward with the hope to that wonderful day. Didn't we just read about a horrible day? Anybody with me? Okay, this isn't going to work. You guys are way too quiet, okay? Is anybody with me? We just read about a horrible day coming, and then look what Paul says here. He puts it this way, while we look forward with hope to that wonderful day when the glory of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ, will be revealed when he comes back. So that horrible day of judgment that's going to come is going to be a wonderful day for a believer because it's going to be a rescue mission. And I want you to see this. 1 Thessalonians 1:10 puts it like this. And they speak of how you're looking forward to the coming of God's Son from heaven. We're looking forward for his return. Jesus, whom God raised from the dead. Watch this. He is the one who has rescued us from the terrors of the what? Coming judgment. Church, I'm here to tell you today, whether people say so or not, there is a difference between a believer in Christ and an unbeliever in Christ. There is a difference between somebody living for the Lord and someone not living for the Lord. And I would tell you this, if this is the only verse that I ever had, I would bank everything on this verse. I don't want to be here through a coming judgment. I don't want to experience God's wrath. And God is so loving and kind that he gives an escape for it, and his name is Jesus Christ. Think of this. What more of a plain verse do we need to have when it says he is the one who has rescued us from the terrors of the coming judgment? I bank everything on that. Is anybody with me? My whole life is banked on that right there. That's why you're at church today, because you're banking your life that God's word is God's word and that he's real. See, 5:9 puts it like this. For God chose to save us through our Lord Jesus Christ, not to pour his anger out on us or his wrath. That's a great verse right there. I want to be on the right side of this thing. So what's the key? Matthew 24:37 puts it like this. I love this. When the Son of Man returns, so we know that Jesus, he had a couple titles, the Son of Man and the Son of God. That refers to Jesus. So we could say this, when Jesus Christ returns, okay, it will be just like it was in whose day? Noah. That tells us, since we've got a brain, we better flip back to Genesis and check it out. Okay, big deal. So how bad will it be when Jesus returns again? I mean, when you look at it, he tells us to look at Noah's day and to see the evil that was there. And yet Noah was rescued because he was righteous. He was living for God. He had an ark of safety. And Jesus Christ is our ark of safety today, as we just looked at those verses above. Jesus is the answer. So let's look at the judgment real quick as we look at this. So oceans of judgment, that's what happened. I mean, when you talk about 20 feet higher than any mountain peak, that's crazy. Okay? Now, I would tell you this. Over all of my years of preaching, and especially when it comes to stuff like this, I have had people scoff it. I've had people mock it. I've had people laugh. I've had people say, are you kidding me? You really believe? Listen, do you want to know why they haven't found the ark yet? Because they're guarding Mount Ararat because they know the ark is up there. Is anybody with me? No one's allowed to go. They've got thermal imaging now, which literally has been able to see through the rock. They know it's there. But that country in Turkey, they will not let anybody up that mountain. They won't let anybody near that site because they know once they discover that ark there physically, it could save the whole world. The story's real. It's true. When you look at it, it's interesting because even though God would judge the entire world for its sin by a flood, you've got to see the grace that God gives first. God always gives a chance for grace before he ever does a judgment. I mean, when you look at this, it's very interesting. Genesis chapter 6, verse 5. The Bible says, the Lord observed the extent of human wickedness on the earth, and he saw that everything that they thought or imagined was consistently and totally what? Evil. I mean, think about that. That's the way the earth was during Noah's day. And then verse 11 says this, now God saw that the earth had become corrupt and it was filled with violence. That's where we're heading, okay? I don't care who's president. I don't care who's in charge of NATO. It doesn't matter. People are becoming more and more and more violent. And it's going to happen, okay? Now, I'm glad we've got things in place to help stop violence. Trust me. But I'm telling you, it's going to get back to this. So what's the picture here? God gives 120 years for Noah to build the ark for a chance for people to repent. If you look at the seven churches in the book of Revelation, you'll find those in chapters 2 and 3. Every single church, God gave a heads up before he judged it. He said, listen, here's what's going to happen to you if you don't repent and turn towards me, but I'm giving you a chance to repent. Why is that? Because he doesn't want to have to judge people. Think of this. He took the time to create people. He took the time to give them their soul and breathe the breath of life into them, to give them their personality and their uniqueness. It's incredible. And then we say that God is a horrible God. Listen, people have a free will. Whether we like it or not, people choose where they go. I've said this for years, and I truly believe it. God wants everybody to go to heaven. Satan wants everybody to go to hell. And man has the casting vote. You get to make a vote on how you live your life. And so the seven churches in Revelation, he gives a chance for them before he sends judgment. It's the heart of God. Noah was preaching every single day to that generation he was in. They had a chance every single day, and they ignored it. Now, I like to do illustrated sermons. So an illustrated sermon would be where I'm preaching, and then we build something or we show you something. We do an illustration with it, okay? Justin and Jamie are our kids' people, Miriam, Dustin, all of those guys, okay, they do illustrations so when they're preaching, the kids can see something and go, ding, 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 I get it, that's cool, right? Illustration. This is the greatest illustrated sermon ever. He took 75 plus years to build an ark, and then after 120, the waters came. I want you to think of this. What a period of grace for these people to turn to God. They saw the greatest illustrated sermon ever, and they ignored it every single day. Think of that. That's scary, because literally, Noah was actually building the boat. Anybody ever see Evan Almighty? Okay, Evan Almighty is a really good kind of modern spin on that story where you can kind of see it, and people still mocked it. People still laughed at it. And it's true. It's the same thing in Noah's day. And what's interesting about all of this is this. It's the same God, the same grace, and the same mercy that God would have on Noah that he would tell Peter, through Peter, that tells us about the second coming judgment. It's the same God, the same grace, the same mercy. He doesn't want anybody to have to go through that. I mean, look at the verses. 2 Peter 3:9. The Bible says the Lord isn't really being slow about his promise. What promise is he talking about? Jesus coming back again. How many of you literally have ever said, "Come, Lord Jesus, now"? It's getting bad. Come, Lord Jesus, please. I don't know if I can take another day of this stuff. The world's getting evil. Jesus, come. Please return. Save us. Right? Watch what it says here. It says this, the Lord isn't really being slow about that promise. Some people think he is. No, he's being patient for your sake. Why? Why hasn't Jesus returned again? He does not want anyone to be destroyed or perish, but he wants how many people to repent? Church, I don't understand. How hard is that verse to understand? And then verse 15, and remember, our Lord's patience gives people time to be saved. This is what our beloved brother Paul also wrote to you with the wisdom that God gave him. And again, when you look at these scriptures here, it's really interesting because how much time does God have to give humanity? Let me tell you something. He's been patient. Man, look back at the eras, the eras of time. Just in the United States, 1920s, something called the sexual revolution happened when the automobile became. And that sexual revolution was bad. We may not have lived back there, but it was a bad deal. And then it rolled over, and then you got the 60s, and you got the 70s, and you got everything that came into all that. Then you got the 80s, 90s, 2000s. Where are we at today? Shocked. We're shocked at what is allowed to happen. We're shocked at what is paraded around. We're shocked at life and what people have become. And listen, this is just the tip of the iceberg. The Bible says, here's the forecast. It's going to get bad. Look at the days of Noah. It will be like that when Jesus returns. Same God, same grace, same mercy, more than the same chance, longer than 120 years. It's been 2,000 years since Christ has been crucified and risen again. Same warning for judgment that's going to come. And yet it's the same God that says, I'm trying to be patient because I don't want to lose anybody. Church, think of that. That's the heart of God. I mean, again, when you look at this, it takes faith to believe the story and the account of Noah and Peter. Think of it. Water higher than 20 feet of the highest mountain. Yet we're given specifics on the amount of days that it rained, the amount of days that Noah was on the ark. The water subsided after this amount of days. I mean, it's amazing. It even comes down to the story in Genesis where the dove, he sent a dove out to go see if there was anything and come back and go out and come back. And it came back with an olive branch in its mouth. And then the next time it was out, it never returned. Why is that? Because the dove finally found a tree. The water subsided. It's amazing the details of the stories that God gives us to say, listen, I do care about you and I don't want you to perish. I truly care about you. Do you believe Noah's account? Do you believe that it happened? Do you believe Peter's account in 2 Peter 3? Do you believe it's going to happen? It's very important to know if you truly believe Noah's account. Why? Because the day of the Lord is coming according to 2 Peter chapter 3. If you don't believe Noah's story, you'll never believe Peter's. What do you think about that? And so many people that I've met over the years are like, I just don't want to think about it. I don't want to hear it. I don't want to think about it. So many people. And yet, how many of you know today we're very blessed to be able to know what's coming? We're very blessed to be able to know that if you're on God's side, you're not going to go through wrath. Church, that's an important thing. 2 Peter chapter 3, verses 3 through 7. The Bible says this, most importantly, everybody say most importantly. I want to remind you that in the last days, scoffers will come. They're going to mock the truth and they're going to follow their own desires. They will say, what happened to the promise that Jesus is coming again? They don't believe it. They're mocking him. And watch this. From before the times of our ancestors, everything has remained the same since the world was first created. How many of you guys know that's a huge lie? I mean, Peter even says it. They deliberately forget that God made the heavens long ago by the word of his command, and he brought the earth out from water and surrounded it with water. He then used the water to destroy the ancient world with a mighty flood. And by the same word, the present heavens and earth have been stored up for fire. They're being kept for the day of judgment when ungodly people will be destroyed. There's going to be a time coming. And I'll be honest with you, I've been doing this for a while. Every once in a while, I will just stop and be like, God, thank you for the salvation that I have. Anybody with me? Because we get really busy with stuff, and we tend to forget from day to day how amazing his grace really is. When you start reading stuff like this, it shows you. Verse 8, though. There's going to be a worldwide judgment that comes. But I want you to see verse 8. This is really interesting. But you must not forget this one thing, dear friends. A day is like 1,000 years to the Lord. And 1,000 years is like a what? Day. So when you look at creation, we have a six-day creation. Okay, so if you just look at that verse, we would say the earth would be around 6,000 years old. Somewhere in there, a little more. Because if a day is like 1,000 years and 1,000 years like a day, that's God's timing. That's his timetable. Why is he putting that right there? Because we need to not forget that God was patient with us. He's trying to be patient with everybody. And when we say, Jesus, would you just please come right now? I understand the urgency of that because we're seeing a lot of things happen. But do you understand the reason why he has not come back yet? So that somebody else can get saved. Somebody else can get saved. Somebody else can get saved. He's got his own timetable. And what he asks us to do until he comes back again is to be faithful to him. See, the only reason that Jesus has not come back a second time yet, he's patient and not wanting anyone to perish, but everybody to come to repentance. Church, that's a loving God right there. I mean, I look back through my own life, and I'm amazed at God's grace for me. I should have been punished a long time ago. Anybody else? Golly, I mean, when we sing Amazing Grace, we sing it from our heart. You know, Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound that saved a what like me? How many of you guys would be honest here and be like, yeah, I had a couple of wretched times in my life. Yep. So I'm thankful for that, and I'm thankful for his grace. And here's the other thing is certain things have to be in place before God unleashes a punishment. So I want you to see this. Let's go to Genesis. Genesis chapter 7, verse 1. There has to be repentance before the judgment comes. He gives a chance for people to repent. So, Genesis 7:1. When everything was ready, the Lord said to Noah, get into the boat with your family, all of your family, for among all the people of the earth. Watch what he says here. I can see that you alone are righteous. Nobody else repented. That's scary. So what God said was, we're done. It's time for you guys to board the boat. And I'm going to send the flood. I'm going to do the worldwide judgment. And what happened is, that's a key verse, because people were not turning to God to repent, and God knew the time. Not one person repented. Now, Hebrews tells us about Noah's day. Hebrews 11, 6 and 7 puts it like this. And it is impossible to please God without faith. You have to have faith to please God, right? Anyone who wants to come to God must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who sincerely seek him. So, you got to believe that God's real and he rewards those who seek him. Now watch this. It was by faith that Noah built a large boat to save his family from the what? Flood. He knew it was coming. Now watch this. This is interesting. He obeyed God, who warned him about things to come, right? That had never happened before. Think about that. Never saw a flood. Never saw rain. Noah could have mocked God. Wait a minute. You're telling me water's going to come from the sky? Yeah, you're nuts today, God. You're off your throne to the left side a little bit or to the right. Something's wrong with you. No, Noah didn't act like that. Noah took his word for real and said, wait a minute, I've never seen rain. I've never seen it flood, but God says it's going to happen, and I better build a boat like he told me. Think about that, church. That takes faith and obedience. Never happened before. I've never seen the whole earth on fire. I've never seen that happen. But the Bible says it's going to come. By his faith, Noah condemned the rest of the world, and he received the righteousness that comes by faith. He did what he was supposed to do. He heard the warning, and he said, God, I'm going to live this thing out. Church, if there's anything you hear from me this morning, please hear this. It's going to be the same as it was in the days of Noah when Jesus returns. And how Noah lived, we need to live. That's the warning. Take a lesson from Noah's story today. How many of you would say, man, I mean, I'm looking at just what's happened in the last few months around the United States of America and around the world. It's getting crazy. And I would say this, we better know Jesus. We better be able to follow him because we need his guidance through what's coming. And again, when you look at these scriptures here, we need resources too. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 7 says this. And again, it says, by his faith, Noah built a large boat. So think of the resources that that took. I mean, the Bible gives specifics on how long it was, the wood that he used, gopher wood, all of these things. I read this the other day. Noah was 600 years old. So you know his 401k was pretty hefty. Is anybody with me? This guy had some money to build a boat, right? He had nothing to lose on that. But now here's the deal. When you look at that, though, it's interesting because who supplied the supplies for Noah? God did. I want you to think about that. That doesn't mean we don't work. It doesn't mean we don't give. It doesn't mean we don't do what we do. But when it comes to a judgment and a leading up to a judgment, God will resource. God will take care of. God will guide. That's the point. And I love that because even though he never saw what happened, he built the boat. And it says this, by faith, Noah, he had to turn his back completely on the world and focus on building the boat and listening to what God told him. And I was thinking about this. If you want beautiful music, you've got to turn your back to the crowd and you have to conduct the orchestra. That's how that works. You'll never hear beautiful music in an orchestra if the conductor does not turn his back to the crowd and conduct the orchestra. That's the same thing what Noah did. Noah had to turn his back to all the scoffing. He had to turn his back to all the mocking, the laughing, the making fun of, the put downs, everything. He tuned it out and he said, God, you gave me a warning and you told me how to live and I'm going to do that and I'm going to do what you asked me to do. Guys, we've seen so much violence through Hollywood and we've seen so much junk all over with social media. We're so numb to this type of stuff. We just are. And I hope these are wake-up calls for us because honestly, it's like, yeah, did you hear what happened to that person over there? And you're like, yeah. I mean, it happens every day. Who cares now, right? That's how we become. I want you to think about that. I don't want one person to go through this. So the warning is not just for us, but for us to tell other people, listen, you don't want to be here when this stuff happens. God's given you an escape like he gave Noah. And I will tell you that there has to be certain things that happen. I mean, Paul was very clear. He says this, the catching up of the church is not going to happen until the man of lawlessness is revealed. He says that in Thessalonians. So I also thank God because he gives us signs to watch for. We'll recognize as a believer who the Antichrist is going to be. The Bible says that will not happen until the man of lawlessness is revealed. I want you to think about that. So, does that mean we're going to see all the bad stuff? No. The Bible is very clear that you will not be here during that wrath. The Bible is very clear on that. But there will be some things we may see. See, God sees and feels it all. And this is the whole point of today. I don't want to break God's heart. I don't want to hurt God. I hurt God enough living for myself when I did. I don't want to hurt God anymore. And church, here's the deal. If you want to be a better husband and a better wife and a better dad and a better mom, and you want to be a better family, and you want to be the best people that you can be, then follow Jesus. Because I'm going to tell you something. I've lived without him, and it does not work. Is anybody else with me? When you follow him, there's just a supernatural blessing that he puts on your life. I'm just going to tell you something. Having the hand of God on you is an incredible thing. Genesis 1:31. Watch what the Bible says here. Then God looked over all that he had made, okay, and he saw that it was what? Very good. I mean, what God created was very good. And evening passed and morning came, marking the sixth day. Now fast forward to Genesis 6:5. Look at the difference in the short amount of time and how evil people got. Genesis 6:5. The Lord observed the extent of human wickedness on the earth, and God saw that everything that they thought or imagined was constantly and totally evil. See, God can see and God can feel. He's not some robot. He's not some invisible force up there. He's real. And the Bible says this, that he saw the good that he did versus the violence by chapter 6. Look at verse 11. It says this, now God saw that the earth had become corrupt and filled with violence. Hebrews 4:13 puts it like this, nothing in all creation is hidden from God. Everything is naked and exposed before whose eyes? His eyes. And he is the one to whom we are accountable. Isn't it crazy when you think about Adam and Eve in Genesis? The Bible says that when they sinned, they realized for the first time that they were naked. The shame, the guilt of their sin, and all of a sudden they realized they were exposed. And so what did they do? They went and got a fig leaf and covered up, and then they hid from God. Is anybody following my story here? You can't hide from God. That was the first game of hide and seek, and it never went well. Is anybody with me? Didn't turn out good for them, because even though God said, hey, what did you do? He was wanting them to confess. It's not that God didn't know what they did. He knew. He was wanting them. That was the first time that somebody could confess their sin that they did to God and say, please forgive us. Instead, they started to blame everybody else. And again, when you look at this, it doesn't do any good trying to hide anything from God. He sees it all. And not just that, but he feels too. Genesis 6:6 tells us this. So the Lord was sorry that he had ever made those people, that group of people, and put them on earth. It broke his what? Heart. Now, I know people have asked him, why did he make them in the first place? Because this thing called free will, you know, when you create something, do you know how awesome it is when it actually works? Is anybody with me? Christmas is coming up. You ever tried to put something together without the instructions and your pride gets in the way and you're like, I don't need those papers, baby, right? And then 5 hours later, she's like, you needed those papers, baby. Is anybody with me? Yeah. And if you would have done it right the first time, you would have been like, it works. The tricycle actually goes forward without a wheel falling off or whatever. And again, when you look at this, God wanted people's free will to choose him. And here's the heart of God. This is so powerful. Ezekiel 18:23. If we think that God wants to punish people, we need to read the Bible again. Ezekiel says this. Do you think, and this is God speaking through Ezekiel, do you think that I like to see the wicked people die? He says the sovereign Lord, of course not. I want them to turn from their wicked ways and I want them to live. That's the heart of God right there. Think of that. And the worst person that you and I know, God does not want them to go to hell. He would love to see them saved and spend eternity with him. Now, that's hard for us to understand, isn't it? How about I put this name out, Jeffrey Dahmer. Is anybody familiar with Jeffrey Dahmer? Every person in this place would say with what that man did, he deserves hell for eternity. He deserves hell for eternity. Did you know that there was a chaplain in the Springfield Mental Hospital That's where Jeffrey Dahmer was. There's a chaplain that says that he went in and that he watched and prayed with Jeffrey Dahmer as Jeffrey asked for forgiveness of his sins, and he asked God to forgive him and gave his life to Jesus. Now, every one of us are sitting here like, I don't know about that one. Is anybody with me? Why? Because we have all the feelings. We have all the stuff. If that is true, God forgave Jeffrey Dahmer for what he did. I don't understand that grace. Because you and I say, that man deserves to die and go to hell for what he's done to people. Come on, can we be real? That's why it's called amazing grace. It's so big, I don't understand it. It's so graceful. But if that did happen, he had every chance like everyone else. See, 2 Peter 3:9, the Lord isn't really being slow about his promise, as some people think. No, he's being patient for your sake. He does not want anybody to be destroyed, or he wants everybody to repent. And then 1 Timothy 2:4, here's the Apostle Paul again. He says this, it's Christ, it's God, who wants everyone to be saved, and he wants everyone to understand the truth. Think about that. The word everyone is everyone. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only one and only son, that whosoever... Well, who is whosoever? Is it just us in here? Or is it the whole world? For God so loved the what? World. Man, we've become so narrow-minded in our day and so consumed with all of the stuff that we've seen, we forget how amazing God's grace is. And I just want to remind you today, the worst person that you know, the worst person could possibly be saved one day. Seriously. I promise you this, it's either going to happen now or for eternity, but when people do corrupt and bad things, they may get found out here, and if they don't get found out here, they will get found out for eternity. And God gives people a chance. We like justice, don't we? Come on, does anybody else in here like justice when it swings around? If somebody does something bad, corrupt to you or your family, and then justice finally smacks them in the face, and you're like, yep, good deal. They had that coming. They were horrible. Right? But the fact is, God says, I don't want anybody to experience my wrath, because it's for eternity. It's hell for eternity. What do you think about that? So the heart of God is, I want everyone to be saved. See, you can actually break the heart of God before you actually break a commandment of God. We think, oh my gosh, I just screwed up and broke the commandment. No, long before you broke the commandment, you broke God's heart. Because he knew it was coming. He wants you to choose him. He wants you to choose him over whatever it may be. And that's the point of this today. We're so wrapped up in trying to keep the rules that we forget about the heart of God. I don't want to break God's heart anymore because I've broken it enough. You ever said the wrong thing to somebody that you didn't mean to say, but it came out anyways, and you're like, well, I can't get that one back, and that's not good. Is anybody with me? Yeah, that's the way that works. And so what you did is you just broke their heart. That's hard to undo. So here's the fact this morning. You can break God's heart before you break his commands. And the whole point of this is, I don't want to break God's heart. And that's what the people in Noah's day did. They broke the heart of God. See, in closing today, Noah's day, there was hope during the first worldwide judgment. Thank God. Because if we didn't have the story of Noah, every one of us would have the right to be totally scared today. Every one of us. I want you to think about this. Genesis chapter 6, 7 through 9. The Bible says this. And again, when you look at this picture, and the Lord said, I will wipe out this human race that I have created from the face of the earth. Yes, and I will destroy every living creature. I'll destroy all the people, except for Noah and his family. The large animals, the small animals that scurry along the ground, and even the birds of the sky. I am sorry that I ever made them. I want you to think about this. Did the birds sin? No. I mean, did the animals sin? Well, when Adam and Eve sinned, it opened up or unleashed the curse of sin on the world. So for the first time, you had a wolf killing a cow. You had a lion killing a lamb. They never had to do that before. Everything were plant eaters at that point. Think about that. And so the curse that was unleashed, we can't imagine that. If you're walking down the sidewalk and you see a loose pit bull, you're probably going to pay attention. Is anybody with me? Because we know what that thing could do. Back in the day in Adam and Eve, before they sinned, you would see something like that and not even think anything about it because everything was perfect. So again, when you look at this, what's happened is the earth became corrupt. And the Bible says this, that God was even sorry that he made them. But Noah found favor with the Lord. This is the account of Noah and his family. Noah was a righteous man, the only blameless person living on the earth at the time. And he walked in close fellowship with God. Think about that. Now, you may go, well, Jerry, even though I have accepted Jesus Christ, I've sinned a couple times since then. Anybody else besides me? But you have someone up in heaven that prays for you on your behalf constantly, and his name is Jesus. The Bible says that he is at the throne of God, and he intercedes or prays on your behalf. He pleads on your behalf. When we deserve punishment for what we do, Jesus says, hey, I died on the cross for Jerry. I took that punishment from him, and he believes in me. Even though he screwed up here and he screwed up here, he's asked for forgiveness. Jesus prays for us. There's a lot of scriptures in the Bible that tells us what he's doing for us right now. And that's a great deal. See, Genesis 7:1, when everything was ready, the Lord, literally, again, it says when everything was ready, he saved Noah. He told them to get on the boat to escape the flood. He and his wife and his sons and their wives. And again, verses 6 and 7, it says this, Noah was 600 years old, and on the 17th day of the second month, there's your details, right? I mean, again, when you look at all these things here, the wives went on, the sons went on, and then verse 11 says, on a specific day, all the underground waters erupted from the earth, and the rain fell in mighty torrents from the sky. He'd never seen it before. That's incredible. And all of a sudden, they were on the boat. See, Genesis 7:11 says the flood did happen. It was a mighty torrent from the sky, and the waters burst. 2 Peter chapter 3, verses 7 through 9. And I want to show you these scriptures here in a minute on this, and we'll wrap up. And by the same word, the present heavens and earth have been stored up for fire. They're being kept for the day of judgment when ungodly people will be destroyed. But you must not forget this one thing, dear friends. A day is like 1,000 years to the Lord, and 1,000 years is like a day. The Lord is not really being slow about his promise, as some people think. No, he's being patient for your sake. He does not want anybody to be destroyed, but he wants everyone to what? Repent. You know, I got a couple pictures for you, and I want you to see this pretty... I mean, I can't imagine it, but I want you to see it here. I can't imagine the earth literally burning, the entire earth. But that's what the Bible says is on its way. And if you believe in the flat earth, here's what I got for you. I couldn't find anything that proved it, but there's a pancake for you. If you're a flat earther, I don't know what to tell you. But I do know this, that the round earth is going to burn one day. And the Bible says that we can escape that through one person. His name is Jesus Christ. Is anybody with me? Let me guess. Is the pancake still up there? Okay. Yeah. So here's the last pictures I want to show you today. If you look at the worldwide judgment that happened and the one that's to come. So God told Noah, build an ark. And when that flood came, when Noah and his family got on there, guess who shut the door? It wasn't Noah, it was God. God safely and securely put him on that boat so he would not have to have the wrath and judgment of God. Think of that, okay? The next picture we see for us, Jesus Christ died for our sins on the cross. And that wasn't it. 3 days later, the Bible says that he was risen from the dead. And there's over 500, in the Bible, there's over 500 witnesses that saw him at one time. I want you to think about that. 500 different people saw him after his resurrection. Proved it. We talked on this Wednesday night in our men's group. It's phenomenal. And my point is this. If God provided an ark for Noah, and Noah was obedient to God and built that, listen, what God is asking of us is to be obedient to Jesus Christ. Because the coming future judgment is a wrath and a punishment for people who have rejected Jesus and want nothing to do with him. Think about that, church. And you're choosing to bring your family to church. You're choosing to be here so that you can grow closer to the Lord. I'd say that's a really, really wise choice today. As our worship team comes, I just want to warn you of one thing this morning that I've been thinking about. Not only is this future judgment coming, but I will tell you this. I think one of the scariest things on the planet right now is AI. I think it's very scary. I think there's some good tools with it. And that's what it is. AI is a tool. I think there's some good things with it. But I will tell you, it is very, very scary to me. Here's what is going to happen. I'm already seeing the little bits of it. AI is information that pumps out information. It's not wisdom. The Bible instructs us not to grow in information, but to grow in what? Wisdom. How do you get wisdom? By reading the Bible. How do you get godly wisdom? By knowing the Word of God, the Bible. So do not be, listen, please be careful. In these last days, do not fall into the trap of thinking that you've got wisdom with just information, because information won't save you. Wisdom will. And please hear my heart today. I'm not saying all of AI is bad. I mean, there's some really good qualities of it. But I will tell you this. I think the overwhelming projection of it is going to be horrific. I truly do. So don't, just beware in these last days. Focus on Jesus and his word, and I'm telling you, that's enough. Because if you die full of information and you don't die full of wisdom from God, you're going to be in trouble. That's the difference with that. I want the wisdom of God in my life so I know how to live. Is anybody with me? I want the wisdom of God. If you could stand with us this morning. We wanted to close on this last song. I'd like to do this today. If we've got, I know it's deer season. We've got quite a few people gone. But if we have any of our prayer team here, could we have our prayer team come up? And I just feel like this morning that there's people going through stuff. Maybe you got questions. Maybe you're going through whatever. And if you need prayer today before you leave, we would love to pray for you. If you're not on the prayer team and you'd like to come up and pray with people, we'd love to have you. If you've been here for a while and you know how we pray and what we do. So if there's anybody else who'd like to join us. But I just want to pray for you before we give this opportunity. So Heavenly Father, we love you today. God, we just ask that by your Holy Spirit, we look at these stories today out of the Bible. And God, we pray that we would honor you by believing Noah's account and believing Peter's account. And Lord, I thank you this morning that you've given us a heads up. I thank you this morning for the peace that we can have in our hearts to know that you, I mean, literally, it says in there, you're going to rescue us from the coming judgment. And you have rescued us. You've rescued us through your Son, Jesus Christ. I thank you for that peace today. Lord, I pray today that if there's anyone in here that has not given their life to you, that's not turned their life to you, that Jesus, they would do that today, that they would do what the Bible says and they would turn to you and ask for forgiveness of their sins and then to confess you as their Lord and Savior. I pray they would do that today, Lord, because you are our ark of safety for what is to come in the coming days. And we thank you for your faithfulness. We thank you for your love in Jesus' name. Amen. Church, if you need prayer, come on in.